Most of us use open architecture technology in our daily lives, although we might not know that term. It's basically a system that accepts components and add-ons from different vendors. And it's essential to the military, but hard to get through its regular, slow acquisition process. Now the Air Force is trying a new process. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni explains how.
Open architectures have been on the Defense Department's radar for years. This spring, DoD released the third version of its acquisition reform policy. It put the acquisition of open architecture systems at the top of the list. Congress also realized the benefits of open architecture. In the fiscal year 2015 Defense Authorization Act, it asked DoD to create a plan that moved toward open architecture in key mission areas across the acquisition portfolios. Now, you're a lot more familiar with open architecture than you might think. Despite the bureaucratic name, we use examples of it every day. Open architecture allows components to be added, modified, replaced, removed, or supported by different vendors throughout a system's lifecycle. That may sound confusing, but think about your smartphone. If you want to track how many steps you take in a day, well, there's an app for that. In fact, there's probably a bunch of different vendors that you can use, so you add one to your phone. Then let's say the company puts out an upgrade that tracks running too. Well, you can just update or modify your phone. Of course, you can always delete it too. Smartphones are more or less open architecture systems that allow components like apps to be added and removed. The whole point of open architecture is the rapid change and modification of our components for consumer ease. But when you try and pair that with DoD's traditional clunky acquisition system, well, it kind of defeats the purpose of open architecture. Air Force Director of Transformational Innovation, Cameron Gorgonpour, explained just that during a speech at a Security Innovation Network event.
When the Defense Department says that it wants to move towards open architecture systems, this is generally what folks are thinking about, sort of the App Store model for building systems. But now imagine if I wanted to download the CNN app, but it took me 2 years to download it, and then it took me 2 years to get authorized to use it. I would probably not download the CNN app or buy the phone because that's a garbage business model that nobody would possibly entertain with a right mind. But this is exactly the business proposition we give to our program managers. We say, hey, wouldn't you like to move to an open architecture? And then and we say, use the standard 5000 series federal acquisition process with all the DoD regs on top of it. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's really hard to draw the connection between the value that you're expected to get, but the reality of operating in that space.
Vice President at the Lexington Institute, Dan Garay, agrees that open architecture is not conducive to the traditional acquisition cycle.
The existing acquisition system approach, marked by the Federal Acquisition Regulation, simply doesn't allow the kind of flexibility and timeliness that you need in order to create the environment, that kind of open architecture, plug and play, et cetera, et cetera. And so you sort of look around and go, what else can we do? How do we get access to this technology? Most of which is private sector. Certainly, the apps are going to be the equivalent of the apps, whatever they're going to be plugging into this open architecture. But even the architecture is essentially going to be, for most of these things, commercial derivative or derivative from other stuff. They've got to figure out a different way of at least doing the kind of initial work experimentation. That's the theory, at least.
The reason DoD wants to use open architecture is because it can adapt to changing and evolving threats. Imagine a service member in a war zone who can download an app that surveys terrain, and then later in the day, he needs to download an app that can translate English into another language. It's easy to do and provides a much-needed service on the spot. The Air Force is trying to shorten the award time for technologies around open architectures and components to 3 weeks. That's a drastic change in time. The Air Force is shortening the time by combining two business tools. In the next 2 weeks, the Air Force is going to choose to enter into an agreement with a bundle of companies called a consortium. The agreement is called an other transaction agreement. Here's Gorgonpour again on how the agreements work.
So another transaction is a specialized authority that the Defense Department has, other agencies have it as well, that for the purposes of prototyping, and prototyping is loosely defined and can certainly relate to cyber products, the department has the ability to bypass all federal acquisition regulation and acquire prototypes with companies. So basically you start from a blank sheet of paper and you draw up a contract that actually makes sense for each given purpose. So things like intellectual property rights, auditing rules, a lot of the things that inhibit non-traditional defense contractors from participating go away or can be made to go away under another transaction model.
Companies can easily join these consortia. Gorgonpour said it usually takes a one-page application and a yearly fee. Since the agreements condone their own rules and are not subjected to federal acquisition regulations, a lot of the things that slow down awards are abolished. Here's Lexington's Gouret on why these agreements quicken the process.
You can sort of get everybody in the room and get the interest involved. A simple example, which is a huge problem, is if you want to do this kind of thing, you want to get everybody in the room or at least a lot of people in the room, you have all kinds of contracting issues. You know, were you fair? In traditional contract, were you fair? Did you let everybody in the room? What happens if somebody wasn't in the room who needed to be in the room or later claims that he should have been in the room? All that kind of stuff. And on any kind of contracting basis, that becomes a problem. You don't have to compete this stuff, right? So everybody can come in and you can get things on contract and you can simply go and say, I pick you. It doesn't have to be justified the way any regular contract. Recent example is take the long-range strike, right? I mean, that was a massive contract, massive effort, massive review, time, money, all that sort of stuff. Don't have to do that with OTX.
Other transaction agreements can't solve everything, though. Gouret says there are downsides to the agreements, too.
We have a federal acquisition regulation system that is designed kind of with eyes firmly planted in the rearview mirror to prevent past mistakes. It does almost nothing to ensure against new mistakes you might make. But because it's sort of firmly focused on the past, the idea of the FAR is not to do good things, but to avoid doing bad things. Bad may be defined as getting cheated, paying too much, not ensuring small businesses get their cut, all the kind of stuff that we have decided are important in federal contracting, and all of which make it difficult, and many would say, nigh on impossible, to do all the cutting-edge innovative stuff that the government wants to do.
Despite the downsides, the agreements will still speed things up. But another thing slowing down the Air Force is figuring out what technologies are out there, which is why it's going to use a second business tool. Usually, military services issue a sources-sought call for white papers. The service puts out a notice, the company makes a white paper explaining what they do and how it supports the military's needs, and then the service picks which one fits best. It takes a while. The Air Force wants to use PlugFest to shorten this process. Here's Gouret again on how that works.
Instead of doing a call for white papers like Army does, we'll host a PlugFest event. Companies will literally come and show us what their capabilities are. We can make a quantitative objective source selection on the spot, and then because I don't need a white paper anymore, we can award in about 3 weeks' time. And so this is how we take our acquisition process from a casual walk through the park to a full Olympic type of sprint. And that's really what we're aiming to achieve.
Gorgonpour said the process should be up and running within a couple of months. From Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com, and 1500 AM.